More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, As You Wish. Is it love or just people-pleasing? We're going to help you quit losing yourself to keep the peace and start enjoying more authentic Christian relationships. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, As You Wish. We're talking about people-pleasing and how we can often confuse that with Christian love, self-sacrifice, all those things that are supposed to be good, and they are good if they're done well. But
in right order.
Exactly. But sometimes we can fall into people-pleasing instead, and we find ourselves losing ourselves to keep the peace instead of actually enjoying truly healthy Christian relationships. We want to help you overcome that and have that real Christian love in all of your relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So are you exhausted from being the person everyone counts on, but nobody thinks to ask how you're doing? Do you find yourself going along with what your spouse or your parents or your friends or your boss wants because the thought of conflict makes your stomach drop? Do you tend to agree to something, but then feel that slow burn of resentment afterwards because it's just too much? Is someone in your life guilt-tripping you every time you try to set a limit, and you keep caving in because you feel like a bad Christian for having boundaries? Or maybe you're watching someone you care about get walked all over, and you don't know how to help them stand up for themselves. Let us help you stop losing yourself to keep the peace. Start building relationships where everyone's needs matter and flourish. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And Greg, I gotta say, there are two times of the year when I see this kind of rise to the top for people: Christmas time and this spring into summertime, where the events ramp up, the demands on our lives ramp up. I talked to a woman the other day. I kid you not. She's got four kids in grade school, all different grades, and the whole school is doing dress-up days to kind of like keep the kids engaged at the end of the year kind of thing. But each teacher chose a different theme for each week. So this mom is coming up, she lost count. She said it's between 12 and 18 different dress-up outfits in the next 2 weeks. And like, she has to put it all together and get it and make sure they're dressed in it, but only at certain hours of the day, and they need changes of normal clothes. Poor thing's losing her mind. And then there's weddings, and then there's communions, and then there's Mother's Day, and then there's... And all of it can just burn us out because, hey, it's what we signed up for. Hey, it's what life demands. But we're exhausted because nobody's backing us up. Nobody's filling up our tank. So if that's happening in your life, or somebody you love, you're watching them just turn into a crispy critter, we are here to help today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877 573-7825.
Well, I mean, look, the fact is, I think it's just hard for all of us to know how to relate to our needs. And I think too often we hear the sort of the easy Christian answer of, well, just don't have any. You know, if you have needs, if you try to meet your needs, then you're being selfish and you should not do that. It's more complicated than that, and actually the theology of the body really gets into helping us have a healthier relationship with our needs and how to honor the needs God built into us while still being generous to others. But that's a more kind of sophisticated approach to the whole thing than what we usually get, which again is just don't have needs. You know, no. Take care of everybody else, be there for everybody else, be generous, be sacrificial, but don't acknowledge. In fact, being sacrificial is means denying yourself entirely. That's not actually what it means, but that's the message that a lot of us get. And I think it's hard for all of us to know how to identify our needs, acknowledge them even to ourselves, much less ask other people to be considerate of those needs, especially when it doesn't come naturally to them. So let's talk about how to have those kinds of healthy relationships where, yes, you can still be generous to others, but in ways that allow you to take care of yourself or even be taken care of. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, I mentioned this woman who's got like between 12 and 18 extra things to do for all her kids' school dress-up days, on top of everything else she's doing. But I don't think, and you have to speak to this, I don't think this is exclusive to women. I think a lot of it does fall on women. I think we kind of are defaulting, but hopefully we're moving away from just taking care of everybody's needs as women in our culture. Hopefully we're sharing more. But I think this happens to men, and I think it's been happening to men for a very long time, where they are supposed to take care of everything for everybody, because they're the strong ones, they're the ones who can do all this stuff. And then they're kind of told, and then be stoic about it. Mm-hmm. Don't complain, don't ask for help, don't need a rest, just keep on marching. And do you think that's still the case for a lot of men?
I think that's true for a lot of men. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know, I think this is a universal thing where it might play out a little differently for men and women, but it's the same root problem, that we just don't know how to have a healthy relationship with our needs and how to make sure that our needs are being met even while we are being generous to others. 877-573-7825 is the number. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to say, well, how can some theology help me figure all this stuff out? But in fact, the theology of the body is actually very practical. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He said, what if we take everything God's given us? Creation, scripture, salvation history. What universal principles could we discern about leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that our relationships are meant to reflect the love that exists between the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Saint Bonaventure said that Trinitarian love is like a water wheel with three buckets, and each bucket is continually pouring itself out into and for the other buckets, but it never runs dry because the other two are constantly filling it back up. Now that's what healthy Christian relationships should look like. Each person giving their all, but never burning out because the others are taking care of them as well. But people pleasers, they have a broken water wheel. They pour and they pour and nobody's filling them back up. And they confuse burnout and frustration with Christian sacrificial love.
So that's the core problem, right? People-pleasing isn't actually generosity. It's working for love instead of working from love. You know, when we work for love, we give because we believe it's the price of admission, the thing we have to do to get people to either care about us or stick around. And that's not really self-donation. That's a transaction rooted in fear. When we work from love, we give freely, confident in our dignity as children of God, and we're able to say what's true even when it risks ruffling feathers.
So if you're someone who constantly says yes when everything inside of you is screaming no, that tension you feel isn't weakness. It's the Holy Spirit reminding you that God never intended for you to disappear in your relationships. Your needs matter to God, because he's the author of your needs. Pursuing them in a way that's still mindful of others is how we discover his plan for our flourishing.
So, if people-pleasing has become your default, try asking yourself one question before you say yes to people today. How can I do this without neglecting my own well-being or the relationships and responsibilities God's asked me to prioritize? Right? It's not do I do this, it's how can I do this in a way that also meets my needs. If the answer is I can't, then the most loving response is a calm, clear, guilt-free no. That's not selfish. That's actually what responsible love looks like. But let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show titled As You Wish, as we talk about people-pleasing. Let's sing our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your questions.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those situations where we're struggling to know how to be generous to others while still honoring the needs you've placed on our hearts. Help us to learn, as your servant St. John Paul taught, that healthy Christian relationships are mutually self-giving, and that's how we build true intimacy and closeness in our relationships, by taking care of each other. Help us to know that self-denial isn't the same thing as self-destruction, that as we are learning to be generous by being flexible about how and when we meet our needs, we can continue to honor you by respecting what we need and coming to you to ask how we can meet those needs in ways that still allow us to be generous to others. Help us to build the kinds of mutually self-giving relationships that reflect the love that flows from your heart. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled As You Wish. We're talking about people-pleasing and how we often fall into that trap of thinking that it's our job to jump through those hoops and deny the needs that God has placed on our hearts. We want to talk about how we can meet those needs in ways that are still generous to others, that allow you to be a healthy Christian person and have healthy Christian relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brittany, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Brittany, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I guess I listened to part of it, and I thought some of it might be relatable to what you're talking about. But my siblings and I, we're struggling with how to meet the needs of my father, who's a 69-year-old man, where he physically, mentally, spiritually is really struggling. Mm. He's been an alcoholic since as long as I can remember. I'm 38. We all have children. We all live far away, but we try to support him in setting up therapy for him, and then he'll cancel it. We just got a text this morning that he wants us to cancel physical therapy coming into his home. He can't walk without a walker. His house is a mess, and a year ago we drove in 3 hours and to where he lives, and we spent 15 hours cleaning his house to make it livable. And then the next time we go visit, it's trashed. Like, we don't feel like we can even bring our kids there.
And what was his attitude while you were spending that 15 hours cleaning his house? Was he grumpy with you? Was he grateful? Where was he at in that moment?
He was actually in rehab. He wasn't even there.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's how
we put him in rehab for 2 weeks, and we were like, okay, he's not going to be there. Let's just have his home, real nice and clean. Right. So when he comes back home, that anxiety will be, at least that part will be taken care of.
Sure.
And unfortunately, he just went back to trashing the house, still drinking, you know, not
so
really.
So how can we help you, Brittany? What's your question for us?
I guess, so we're my siblings and I, so I'm one of four, we're struggling with, are we not doing enough for him? Are we not, we want to please God, like, in God's eyes, like, are we not doing enough? What else should we be doing for him?
God bless you. I think it's wonderful to ask that question, and you know, we want to honor our parents, right? But honoring our parents doesn't mean tolerating unhealthy behavior, either in terms of, you know, how they're treating us or how they're treating themselves.
And one of the questions we have to ask God in these very difficult situations is, Lord, how much of this is motivated by me wanting to please you, and how much of this is motivated by me wanting to fix my dad and have it finally work out and get that happy ending and a healthy relationship? When we ask God that question, it does help us sort it out. It also helps us kind of see the dawn come up of going, these are choices he's been making for a very long time, and perhaps, and I'm saying it's probably likely, that God has not put you and your siblings in a place where you're the ones who have to rescue him.
Well, and the thing is, you can't rescue someone who isn't willing to be rescued.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, when you say, are we doing enough? In a situation like this, you can't possibly do enough because he's not doing his part to take care of himself on any level.
Right, you've done all you can do in a very generous and loving and healthy way, inviting him, just as Jesus does for us, inviting him into a healthy relationship, inviting him into a healthier life. But all of us, I think, unfortunately, in some ways, because it's so frustrating, we're given the gift of free will, and we're all able to walk away from Christ and each other and goodness in the world. It hurts, but we are able to do that.
So, in this case, the question really is he capable of living on his own? And now I know he's not going to want to go someplace else, but it may come to a place where he doesn't have a choice. The only thing I would really suggest on the practical level is that you could have a social work evaluation by contacting the Department for Elder Services, which would be in the county's Department of Human Health and Human Services. Everybody knows about child welfare. People don't know about the elderly care services that are also available. And a social worker can come and do an evaluation of the house to see if he's safe and he's capable of living on his own, and then make recommendations for what might need to happen to make sure that he's able to take care of himself or be in a place where he can be taken care of. So that, on a practical level, that's what I would recommend. That you guys seeing, is he, if you don't feel that he is safe and he's not willing to see it, that would be your next step. The only other thing I'll throw out here is, you know, come from a spiritual perspective, addictions are what you might call a false god problem. It's basically, it becomes a kind of an idol. I worship the substance and I build my entire life around protecting the substance. For an alcoholic, the problem with addictions is that they're problems for everybody except the addict. The addict clings to the addiction because it's their solution for everything. And
we can all see that it's not, and that it's harming them, but they can't. They feel that it's their solution.
And when you try to take it away, they see you as trying to take away the one thing that works for them, because it's the one thing that helps them cope with everything else. And that's why I say it's like they put this substance on the altar of their lives, and they build their entire lives around it. And everything else that threatens it, they resist it with all their might. And that's where your dad's at. And that's where he's going to be at, unfortunately, it seems. We can certainly pray for him and continue to get him to go to rehab as much as you can. But I think that at this point, you guys are doing everything you reasonably can do. He isn't willing to take care of himself, so there's nothing that anybody else can do to make up for that. And so the only other option would be, if he's unsafe living there on his own, is getting that social work evaluation and some recommendations for what might move beyond that. But you guys are doing what you reasonably can. So I hope that this helps give you a way forward and gives you more things to talk about. I'm going to encourage you to download the podcast of this episode and play it for your siblings so that you guys could kind of use this as a springboard for conversations about where you want to go next. But thank you so much for the question. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about people-pleasing as we talk about how we can get our own needs met while still being generous to others. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights that she shares with her clients about how to have healthy relationships where we're allowed to have our own needs met too. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House, our luxurious celebrity cruise liner, awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled As You Wish. We're talking about people-pleasing and how that's problematic, really. And I think not a true expression of Christian love. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence and works with Catholic athletes, performers, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Easy for me to say, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So how do you help your clients break out of people-pleasing and be able to love more confidently and authentically?
I think it's first important to understand what's actually happening when we get stuck in people-pleasing mode. Because we think we're trying to serve everyone, but really our brain is stuck in threat response. It's part of the fight, flight, or freeze reactions. Your nervous system is reading the other person's feelings, the other person's displeasure, or even the possibility of their displeasure as danger. You're telling yourself, if I can just keep everyone else happy, then I'm okay, or I'm enough, or I'm safe. And this is why people-pleasing isn't real love. It's really self-protection. So here's how we kind of start to shift out of this. First, before you say yes to something, check in with your body. Is there that tightness in your chest? Is there a rush to answer before you even thought about it? That physical sign is your signal that you're about to perform, not give or love authentically and intentionally. Second, we need to take a pause. You don't have to respond immediately. I like to say that let me think about that is a complete sentence. That pause is where your freedom lives, and freedom is the foundation of every real gift. You can't give what you haven't first freely chosen. And then third, instead of what do they want from me, ask yourself, what's the loving thing here for both of us? Because the theology of the body teaches that we're not made to disappear into other people. We're made for communion. And communion requires two whole people actually showing up, not one person shrinking so that the other person stays comfortable. People-pleasing feels generous, but it's actually withholding yourself and handing someone a version of you that you think that they'll accept. The braver thing, the more confident thing, the more loving thing is to show up as you actually are and let the relationship be real, be authentic, healthy, and actually meaningful.
And that's kind of scary, right? Because, you know, you mentioned the fight, flight, or freeze response. There's a fourth F in that, which is fawning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're talking about. You know, people-pleasing is really that fawning, which is that again, the threat response that you're talking about. But learning how to overcome that fear is what allows God's love to thrive in our hearts and in our relationships. And so being able to follow through with those suggestions that you made really helps to set us free to experience the kind of love that God really wants for us. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about your faith-based program and performance excellence, where you work with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about people-pleasing, as we were just sharing with Rachel on our show titled As You Wish. You know, are you exhausted from being the person that everyone counts on, but nobody thinks to ask how you're doing? As you're listening to the show, maybe it's occurring to you, never really thought that I was allowed to have needs or express them to other people or expect people to meet my needs. And yes, of course, it's possible to be selfish, right? And we're not saying that that's not possible. But that's different from having needs and expecting the people who say they love you to meet them. Let's talk about that difference as More to Life continues. And we take your calls at 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
In the 11th rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, St. Ignatius gives us the picture of the mature person of discernment. St. Ignatius compares those who are experiencing God's gift of security and spiritual consolation remain in humility, and those experiencing the insecurity of spiritual desolation are invited to trust. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "Humble in time of spiritual consolation, lowering themselves when spiritually high, and trusting in time of spiritual desolation, raising them when spiritually low, they progress faithfully through the alternations of these two contrary movements with a certain spiritual balance and maturity. This balance is the growing fruit of constantly renewed efforts to live in spiritual consolation with such humility and in spiritual desolation with such trust."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Why are some married couples happy while others struggle? You might think that happy couples argue less and resolve issues more efficiently than unhappy couples. But in fact, research suggests that both happy and unhappy couples argue about as much and struggle similarly with problem solving. The real difference is that happy couples consciously work toward maintaining their relationship and emotional health. For example, they create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together on a daily and weekly basis. Happy couples also look for ways to help each other out from day to day, little things that might make the other person's day easier or more pleasant. And then, when conflict breaks out, as it inevitably does in any human relationship, they realize that the most important thing isn't solving the conflict, but how they come to that resolution. Happy couples take care of each other while they go through that conflict so they can work to find solutions together. Marriage isn't easy, but the good news is that with a little work, any couple can find real happiness together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you'd like faithful help for your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled As You Wish. We're talking about people-pleasing and the difference between people-pleasing and authentic Christian love. We want to help you quit losing yourself to keep the peace and start enjoying more authentic Christian relationships. 877-573-7825. You know, we were talking before the break, you know, there are a lot of us as Christians who aren't even aware that we're allowed to have needs and then feel that it's selfish to express those needs. Let's talk about how to have a healthier relationship with those needs and still be generous to others. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
I'm thinking about the verse, the Matthew 16:24, deny yourself, mm-hmm. pick up your cross, and follow me.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, is it being stated from an assumption of existing community and holy, loving relationships? Or how is that particular verse interpreted in light of everything that you're discussing?
Yeah. No, that's an amazing, that's a terrific question. Fantastic. So yeah, let's put that in some context scripturally, because it's absolutely true. Of course, Jesus said that, and so it must be true, right? So what does denying ourselves actually look like in practice?
Because we also have to realize, you know, when we snatch any verse out of context, it can be used against our mental well-being and even our physical well-being. So if you go to Luke 10:7, Jesus, you know, says that the servant is worth their wage, because he's sending out the 72 and he's telling them to accept food and shelter from the people that they minister to. In other words, their needs have to be taken
care of. In fact, he's putting them in a position where he's saying, don't bring anything with you.
True.
And where he's kind of forcing that dependence and that expectation that other people will take care of them and attend to their needs even while they're attending to the needs of the others.
And then Paul takes it even further in Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 9. And he talks about how those who preach the gospel should make a living from the gospel. And you can look that up. It's 9:7-4. And really this idea of, okay, you're serving, you're loving, you've denied yourself. You're no longer a fisher of, you know, fish. You're out there as a fisher of man. You're serving Christ. But you deserve to have your bucket, your water bucket, filled up, as we talked about in the water wheel analogy earlier. And this is set up by Christ himself and then Paul later on.
So let's talk about what self-denial means in this case and how to have a healthy sense of this. Because there's a difference between self-denial and self-destruction, right? So self-denial, well, you know what, let me back up just a second. Where do our needs, we have a tendency to think that having any needs is selfish because we think that we're the authors of our needs. But we're not. God built our needs into our bodies. And when I say what a need, I don't just mean like basic needs like food and shelter and safety. Those are certainly needs. But biologists will tell you a need is anything that allows us to thrive, right? So when an organism is functioning at its best, its needs are being met. And God gave us our needs so that we could function at our best, right? And Saint Irenaeus talks about how the glory of God is man fully alive. St. John Paul talked about how intimacy is fostered when we are attending to other people's needs but allowing them to attend to our needs, because in that case, we're both listening to God speaking to each other through the needs that he's placed on each other's hearts. So where does the self-denial come in? Well, my relationship with my needs is corrupted because of sin. So I want what I want, but I want it the way I want it and when I want it. And that's where the self-denial comes in. Because the way I want what I want and when I want what I want is often selfish, right? It often doesn't care about you. So I have to deny myself. I have to deny that desire to have what I want, the way I want it, and when I want it. But I can still have what I want because God gave me that desire to have that thing, right? So I bring those desires to God, and I say, Lord, I have this desire on my heart, but I don't know how to meet it in a way that loves you, that's respectful to others, that allows me to be the person you're calling me to be. Teach me how to meet this need in a way that glorifies you and helps me be my best self and helps me to serve others. That's denying myself, right? That's denying my initial impulse to just go do what I want, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it. But that's different from denying that I have any needs at all, right? So the self-denial comes from not from denying the needs that God built into me, but denying my fallen ways to meet those needs and recognizing that I'm completely ignorant and broken when it comes to knowing how to have a healthy relationship with those needs. And so I'm constantly bringing those needs back to God and asking Him to teach me how to relate to them and how to express them in appropriate ways. And by doing that, St. John Paul teaches in the Theology of the Body, that we're able to have all of our needs met while still being generous to others. And that's how we reflect that Trinitarian love in our lives that St. Bonaventure was talking about, where, you know, the Trinity is that three-bucket water wheel. It's always pouring itself out, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always pouring themselves out for the good of the others, but never running dry because the other buckets are constantly filling them back up again. That's what a healthy Christian relationship ideally looks like. Now, we all struggle with that, right? You know, but that's what we need to be aiming for, that we give fully to others, but we are also honest about what we need to have given back to us.
And sometimes it's really hard for us to do that. We really get this kind of mentality of this deny yourself so deeply in us that people will try to do kind and nice things for us, try to ask us what they can do for us, and we'll go, nothing, it's fine. And we're almost putting on this robe of like extra martyrdom and holiness that God's not really asking us to do. He's asking us to serve.
Real martyrdom and holiness.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. He's not asking us to do it. Right. It's not real. And in fact, we're denying some of the grace that He's trying to give us through giving us that relationship with someone.
So here, I'll just throw out one other thing. Kind of practically speaking, how we practice this self-denial in a way that allows us to meet our needs while still being generous to others. I call it the qualified yes technique. Instead of asking ourselves, do I or don't I do this thing that the person asked me to do? Because that turns everything into a polarized yes or no. And it's never that simple. The question we should ask is instead, how could I respond to this need in a way that also allows me to be respectful of the needs that God has given me? So you say, hey, Greg, can you come and help me move on Tuesday? You know, and I, you know, maybe I don't want to do that, right? I'm not going to say no because I don't want to, but I'm going to look and I'm going to say, well, how could I respond to Mary's need to have me help her move in a way that also respects the fact that I have these projects that are due Tuesday afternoon and that my wife and my kids need me for this thing and that. And I can say, well, Mary, I can be there. I'll tell you what, I could come for like 2 hours in the morning, you know, from 10 to 12, but I can't be there from this to that. Would that work for you? And at that point, you might say, well, no, that doesn't, because I have to be at someplace else in those times. So thanks anyway. But I've still tried my best to be responsive to your need, you know, more than I necessarily want to, but in a way that actually
still... Which is where the denying of self comes from.
But still works for the needs that I actually have that God has placed in my life, right? So instead of saying, do I say yes or no to Mary, I'm saying, here's my qualified yes. This is the part of your need I can attend to. This is how I can respond to you that goes even beyond what I'd kind of like to do, but still allows me to attend to the needs that I've got, that God has given me primary responsibility for. And that allows me to deny myself, be appropriately generous, but still take care of my wife and my kids and the other responsibilities that I've got.
And not crack up.
Right.
You know, it's not, I want to emphasize that. It doesn't always have to be about, I can only use the qualified yes technique if I'm taking care of other people's needs that are filling me. I've got to take care of the boss's needs, my kids' needs, my wife's needs. No. It's okay for you to just say, and I need a couple of hours that night to decompress so I don't lose it. I don't take care of my body and my mind and my well-being. It's okay to prioritize your own needs to a point. Not to the point where you don't take care of anybody ever, but that you can successfully use this qualified yes technique So you don't end up feeling resentful and burned out.
I've been sitting on this, trying to decide whether to share it or not, whether it'd be helpful or not. No, I mean, so take it, whatever. So there are a lot of Christians who are actually better Buddhists than they are Christians, because Siddhartha taught that the Buddha taught that it was the destruction of the self that was the lead to holiness, and that any desire at all was bad. That's not the Christian way. The Christian way is that desire is built into us by God, and our needs are built into us by God, and they are good. He pronounced them good at the beginning of creation. But our relationship to our desires and our needs is bad, and that's where the self-denial comes in. So we're called to follow Christ, not the Buddha, and practice self-denial, but not self-destruction, which for the Buddha was the path to nirvana.
So it's getting our needs in right order.
That's right.
With how God created us and our relationships to be. So that's what we're pursuing. And when we do that, we're fulfilling Matthew 16:24, Mary, which I love that you brought up, because I know a lot of people were thinking about it. And because we're saying, no, I need to get my needs in right order with other people's needs, and not deny other people's needs, but also not deny my own. So you're actually actively working on denying your reactions and an overemphasis on your needs, and starting to say, how can we live in holy community with one another, where we're all working for each other's good?
And this, by the way, is why we're so devoted to the theology of the body, because it's these teachings that St. John Paul gave us that really reflected on, as I said, creation and science, and salvation history and scripture, to be able to say,
bring it all together for us.
This is God's plan for human flourishing and healthy relationships. And it presents a corrective to a lot of well-intentioned, but frankly unhealthy interpretations of scripture and other things that we've kind of, as a church, have carried along with us, but aren't really rooted in that bigger picture of things. And so the theology of the body provides a lens that enables us to see these things in a more sophisticated and healthier, authentic way. Terrific question. I'm so glad, Mary, you asked that. You couldn't have teed us up better to kind of
be
go deeper.
Be able to
this.
Really go deeper. So thank you, awesome. Mary. It's a wonderful and very thoughtful question. I hope the answer gave you a lot to think about and answer that question for you.
All right, so we have to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Am I now seeking the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
And, you know, here again, you know, is St. Paul saying, don't take care of other people?
Well, no.
But he's saying exactly what we were talking about with Mary, but also in relation to our own selves and relation to others. We don't know how to respond to our desires or other people's desires in a healthy way. We're broken.
Right.
So we bring it all to God. And we say, okay, Lord, these are the needs you've placed on my heart. These are the needs you've given to this person. Help me know how to respond to them in a way that allows me to be generous, but still is faithful to the needs that you've given me.
Well, and I want to bring up something you said earlier, the idea of working for love,
right,
instead of from love.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this with people, right? We can do this people-pleasing thing, but a lot of us do it with God. I think I know how to earn points with God. So I'm going to go and serve my mother-in-law who hates me all weekend, and then I'm going to go to all my kids' different sports things, and then I'm going to take care of my neighbor, and I'm going to make a week's worth of food for the food bank, and I'm going to... Have we ever stopped and said, Lord, what do you want me to do today?
And maybe he wants us to do all those things.
He may.
But maybe he wants us to do something else entirely.
Or do it over a few days instead of a day. But we have to ask him. That's saying, I love you, Lord. I want to serve you. And so I'm going to ask you what it is you want from me and try to listen to that.
And how we listen, okay, and here's the kicker, how we listen is we listen to the needs that he's placed on our hearts, because that's what enables us to thrive and be the person he's calling us to be. So we bring those needs back to him and we say, okay, Lord, teach us how to meet these needs in ways that allow us to be generous to others.
And I have to say, we need to discern that. We need to ask him, but not just listen to the needs. We have to say, well, Lord, help me to do these needs in right. Like, I know there are days where I'm so tired, I'm thinking, well, my need is just to stay in bed all day long.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything for anybody.
Been there.
And occasionally, we're going to need those days. You know, there's the occasion that we might need that. But if we really bring it to God and we're like, oh, I'm so tired, he might say, okay, so lay down for, you know, 15 minutes. You know, shut your eyes and then get back up and do what I've given you to do. Like, he'll help us find balance in our lives and our relationships.
All right, we got to go to break, but we're continuing our conversation about people-pleasing and how do we develop a healthy relationship with our needs that lets us still be generous to others, as we are called to do and privileged to do, but be faithful to the needs that God's placed in our hearts. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll continue with your calls coming up after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled As You Wish, as we talk about people-pleasing and how it's different from real Christian love. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carrie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina on Divine Mercy Radio.
Hey, Carrie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you. I'm on my 61 years, or most of them, I've been a professional people-pleaser, and you're talking about having needs, and I'm not sure I know what's the best way to figure out what your needs are.
You know, I love this question, and I love the fact that you're speaking for so many people in midlife who have gone through all the roles that they, you know, ran into, like, you know, running into a building on fire for 20, 30 years, and suddenly you're like, okay, where were my needs in all this, and I have no idea what I even need or want. It's a very universal thing for many people, so thank you for asking the question.
So I can respond to the question sort of in the aggregate, but is there something specific that you're wanting to know, or you just want me to talk generally about how do you identify your needs?
Yeah, generally would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. So it's actually a lot easier than we make it, right? Because we have this thing like, well, how do I know if it's really a need versus a want? You know, and wants don't count, right?
You're saying we think that often.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to make sure people don't think that's what Greg Popchak said.
No, so a want isn't like just a lesser need. You know, we think needs are basic needs, food, shelter, you know, safety.
Yeah, so we're only allowed to go after things that keep us from dying.
Yeah, those are needs. And everything else is a want, which is a lesser need, and pursuing those makes us selfish. That's not at all.
That is a lie from Satan.
Okay, so a need Let's go back to something we said earlier. Biology is theology. That's sort of an aphorism of people who are, you know, promote the theology of the body. That St. John Paul really taught that God speaks to us through the body. Now, you know, we have to pray about that and reflect on the body in light of Christian tradition to really understand what he's saying, but he speaks to us through the body.
But we also can't allow us to fall back into the lie that we just said and think that only our bodily needs of nutrition and water and shelter aren't the things that matter.
No, but biologists will tell us that a need is really anything that helps an organism thrive.
There you go.
Right? Not just survive, but thrive. So when an organism is receiving all the things it needs for all of its internal systems to work well together and all of its external environment to work well together, it's thriving. And those needs help it thrive and succeed and be what it's created to be. Same is true for us. God gave us the needs that enable us to thrive so that we can glorify him with our lives.
Well, and especially because we as people are intricately and wonderfully made. So we don't just have bodies. We have souls. We have minds. We have relationships. And all of those are meant to thrive.
So where do wants come in? Wants have to do with how we want to meet our needs, right? So the need is the what. The want is the how and the when. It's like, I would prefer to meet my what in this way or in this time frame. I can be flexible about the how and the when. Selfish people aren't flexible about that. Selfish people want what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. An assertive person knows what they need, but is flexible about how and when they meet it. They're going to get it met, but they're flexible about the how and the when. Okay? So let's come back around. How do you know what your what's
what
are?
What you even need after, you know, 61 years of serving everyone else.
You really start prayerfully reflecting on what helps you thrive. When are you your best? You know, when you might just even look at, you know, when do I feel my best? When do I have that little spark that lights up in my heart that says, this was a good moment for me? You know, I did well at this. Or, you know, I woke up feeling a little better than I usually do. What are those things that help make that happen for you? When do I feel most connected with a person? Who are the people I do feel most connected with because I feel taken care of by them? And what makes me feel cared for? Those are all needs.
Those also might take a little bit of exploration because you haven't done anything for yourself for a long time. So if there's a peak of interest of, oh, I'd like to take a class on this, or, yeah, I'd like to go buy that paint set and try, you know, painting, or I would like to try getting in shape so I could run a marathon someday, or I would like to just read a book from end to end. Whatever those little things are that you haven't made the time for that, you know, or like give you that question mark of maybe I'd like that. We can experiment with those things and see what does give us that spark.
Right. And the next step is, once you've identified those things that help you feel like you're thriving, the next step isn't to just go rush out and do it however you want and whenever. It's to bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, I got all these needs on my, these things in my heart that help me thrive that I think you've put there, but I don't know how to meet them, and especially don't know how to meet them in ways that, like, you know, won't make everybody else around me mad, you know, or disappointed or frustrated. How do I do this in a way that allows me to really be present to others, but also have reasonable expectations for those relationships? That's a lot to sort out, and that's where it might be helpful to get some professional pastoral counseling to really begin to understand what those needs are and how to express them and live them out in your relationships. Because when you've been living as you have for all these years and being, as you said to our screener, a professional fawner,
which I just love that phrase,
you know, we tend to build relationships where people get offended when we express what our needs are. And so it's helpful to have somebody in your corner being able to say, all right, well, let's look at that. You know, do they have a right to be offended by that? Or maybe you need to set some boundaries with that.
Or maybe you can meet this need in a way that meets everybody's need so you don't hit this wall. There's a lot of figuring that out at this time.
So if we can support you in that journey, we really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd love to be able to help you sort all this out. But the basic process is exactly what we said. What helps you thrive? You know, in your relationships, in your daily life, what helps you feel more alive? Those are all needs. Those are not wants that you're selfish for pursuing. It's only selfish if you are not flexible about the how and the when. But the what you need is given to you by God. And that is what helps you thrive. And that is what enables you to glorify God with your life, because the glory of God is man fully alive. And we become fully alive by meeting those needs in ways that also respect the needs of others. Thank you so much for the question, Carrie. There's a lot to unpack there, as I said. So if you want some support in making that happen, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But hopefully this will get you started. And this goes for you folks as well. You know, I think that there are a lot of people who are tuning in who maybe heard some of this stuff for the first time. And if it's resonating for you and you're thinking, you know, I never really thought about this stuff that way before. And gosh, I've been trying so hard, but I've been kind of doing it wrong. You know? And this would be so much more freeing, but I don't even know where to start. Reach out to us, CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor that will help you live out these ideals in a way that is really enabling you to flourish and your faith, life, and relationships to flourish as well. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.